We just thank you that we can be here together tonight. We thank you for your word. Let us pray as we consider this difficult topic that we wouldn't be discouraged. Rather, Lord, that we'd be equipped and we'd be filled with a sense of who you are, what you're capable of doing, and just how good you are. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of you may have heard this before, but there's an ancient Greek story called the Odyssey. Anyone? I'm seeing a nod from Greg. And this story has survived through many, many centuries. And the Odyssey is an epic tale of the adventures of a guy called Odysseus. And he's also known as Ulysses. And it sort of tracks his adventures on his journey home from the Trojan War. So it's not a historical story, it's a mythological one. So there's strange creatures in there like cyclopses, there's some sea monsters, and the Greek gods get a mention as well. But on this journey, he passes by this island that is inhabited by these enchanted creatures which are called sirens. So these sirens, they sing a beautiful song that is irresistible to anybody who hears it. Whoever hears the siren song is actually drawn towards this island that they live on. And the catch is, these sirens are actually vicious and deadly creatures, and they kill anyone who comes onto their island. So people obviously know the story, and so Ulysses and his men, he gets his men to block up their ears, but he instead is tied to the mast of the ship so that he can hear the song of the sirens. And as they approach the island, he begins to hear this song. He's literally driven mad. He's so compelled to escape that he's struggling to get out of his ropes, and they actually have to put chains on him to keep him to the mast. That's how strongly he is drawn towards the siren song. They have to chain him up to keep him from jumping into the ocean and swimming to this island. And fortunately, they pass out of earshot of the siren song, and he's safe. But what we've just heard there, this is effectively how temptation works. We're actually drawn into something that seems lovely to us, only to be met by disappointment and destruction when we actually obtain whatever it might be. So hopefully you can see already that temptation can be a really powerful force against us. So we need to understand what it is, and we also need to understand what we need to do about it. So to kick us off tonight, we're actually going to start with where temptation actually comes from. So we're going to read verse 12 again. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. So this is really a recap of what we heard at the beginning of the year, because we've already looked at trials back in February, and we considered trials then, and just the summary of all that we looked at there is that they are actually a really good thing for us, because they help us to grow in our faith and actually become mature as Christians. So the summary of what we just read there is that trials are a blessing to us, even if they don't seem like it at the time. So James makes that point there in verse 12, but then he goes on to address a particular type of trial. And in this case, we're talking about this trial of temptation. And temptation is, as I've mentioned, when we feel drawn towards acting in a way that is not godly, but actually sinful. And we're drawn towards this kind of behavior or thinking. And so in verse 13, James addresses an alleged source of temptation. People might say, this is where temptation comes from. We're going to read what James has to say about that particular source. This is verse 13. Let no one, when he is tempted, say this, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he tempts no one. So we've heard in that the verse before that enduring trials is actually a good thing for us. But then he goes on to clarify that this specific trial of temptation, it does not ever, ever come from God. And the reason is that God is actually pure. He is holy. He is incorruptible. God cannot be stained or tainted or defiled. And so while God might actually allow us to go through trials, he is never, ever the source of the temptations that we face. And so we should never say that God is tempting me in any situation, because he just isn't. That's not something that God actually does to us. But some of you might be sitting here and thinking, well, does anybody actually do that? Does anybody say that God is tempting me when they are tempted? And that's actually something that I wondered myself this week, because I've never really thought that myself. But all we have to do is just open the Bible and start reading it at the beginning, and then we can already see in the first few pages that this does happen. I'm sure, you know, pretty much everybody here would be familiar with the narrative of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They're there and they're instructed, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But of course, Eve is tempted by the fruit and the serpent deceives her, and so they both eat this fruit. They disobey God. And so God comes along and he challenges Adam. And this is the response that Adam gives to God when challenged. The woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit and then I ate it. So what we find there is, of course, Adam blaming Eve. But first and foremost, what he's really doing is saying, hey, this is your fault, God. If the wording there is, this woman whom you gave me. That second part there is the key part. In Adam's mind, God gave him Eve. She was deceived, and they shared in this fruit together. And so because God was the one who gave Eve to him, it must be God's fault. God must be responsible for this tragic thing happening. So we can see that people do blame God when they are tempted and when they fall into sin. Actually, you saw a video this week on I think it was YouTube, and it was just featured this guy, and he lives a very immoral life. It's just a life of lust. And he was being questioned about his life. And the response that he gave is this. That's just who I am. This is how I am wired. I have these desires and I have these urges. And so I actually have to fulfill them. That's what this man was saying. Now, he is not a Christian, but the logic that he used there is the same logic that I have actually heard from people. You know, people say, this is how I've been made. I have these desires. And it's not actually my fault that I have to fulfill these desires. Now, that's not necessarily as direct as saying, oh, God, this is your fault. But really, that is what you are doing if you think this way. And so what we do is we appeal to the fact that God has made us. And we use that as a means of justifying when we want to give in to our temptation. So I wouldn't have this urge if it wasn't for a reason. So God must be okay with me doing this then. But this is one of the ways that we actually deceive ourselves into thinking that God is the source of our temptation. And verse 14 corrects this mindset for us and also clarifies where temptation comes from. So have another listen to verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So what you just hear there, James is clearly stating that we are tempted when our own desires lead us astray. It's not God, it's not anybody else, it's not even the devil. Temptation actually comes as a direct result of our own internal desires. And sadly, this is the reality of living in a post-Eden world. You see, everything changed when Adam disobeyed God. And now we are all born so that our desires are actually corrupted by evil, you know? We weren't supposed to have laziness. We weren't supposed to have hatred or anger or lust or jealousy or unbelief. That wasn't God's original plan. But when sin came into the world, our desires were actually corrupted by evil. And so outside things, things external to us, can be objects of temptation, but ultimately it's our own internal desires that will determine if we succumb to temptation. In here, our internal desires. And what this means is that there is no blame game ever when it comes to sin. You know, we are responsible for our own actions and our own thoughts. Our sin is nobody else's fault, and our failure is nobody else's fault. What God actually wants us to do is to take responsibility for our own sin, take responsibility for our own battle against temptation. God wants us to be responsible for that. So the question of where temptation comes from is important, but it's actually far more important to consider how we respond when we feel tempted. And to help us stand firm in the face of temptation, we're now going to look a bit more into how temptation actually works. So that's the question. How does temptation work? Well, this is what we read back in verse 14. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So what we see there is that we have these corrupted desires inside of us, and they actually work to draw us towards things which are sinful. You know, like we heard at the beginning, that siren song, these corrupt desires are like a magnet attracting us to things that are sinful and destructive for us. We essentially, when we succumb to these desires, like a moth to a flame or a bee to a honeypot, we get drawn in by our desires into things which are ultimately unhelpful and destructive for us. But in this, there's also some deception. You see, the lie of temptation is that these things that we desire are actually really good for us, and that when we have them, they're going to make us happy. You know, like if you're a student somewhere, you might think that if you cheat on a test, that outcome is you get a better mark, and that seems like a good thing. But then you have to live with yourself, and you feel guilty, and you feel like you're a fraud because you didn't actually earn your mark. Another example, you might be tempted to look at something inappropriate online, and this might seem like it gives you enjoyment and fulfillment at the time, but ultimately, after the fact, you're left knowing just how impure and unrighteous that kind of activity is. It's wicked and depraved, and we know that after the fact. And so temptation promises the world to us. It gives us a fleeting pleasure for a short time, but then it's going to leave us feeling rotten and empty after the fact. And verse 15 articulates this beautifully for us. Desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. So we have these desires inside of us that lead us astray, but that doesn't automatically mean that we sin just because those desires are there. We have a choice to make. We either embrace and indulge those desires, or we fight back and we overcome these corrupt desires inside of us. But if we're not prepared to fight back, then those corrupt desires will produce sin in us. That desire will give birth to sin, is what we just read there. Either by things that we do or thoughts that we have, sin will be produced if we don't bring these desires under self-control. And this is obviously not a good thing, which is what we heard in that verse. But even worse still, the result of sin in us is death. If you read the book of Romans, because all have sinned, all will die as the rightful repayment for this sin. And so sin might promise the world to us that we're going to have pleasure and fun and enjoyment, experiences, life and freedom. It promises all of these things to us. But it's all a lie. It's just deception. Let's not be deceived. We might enjoy some fleeting pleasure in sin for a time, but the end result is that we reject God, we turn our back on the source of all things good, and the ultimate end of sin is death and eternal separation from God. And so I know that this will be an accessible illustration for all of us here. Temptation and sin is literally like a mousetrap, you know? You can get in there and gorge yourself on all the food. While the night is young, you can have a great time, get fat in that little mousetrap, but there is no escape and death is coming in the morning. That is what sin and temptation are like. And so that is how temptation works. We've seen that it has destructive consequences. Our inward corrupt desires draw us to ungodly things. And then when we surrender to these temptations, that's when we're actually given into sin, which ultimately leads to death. And so we can see that temptation is actually a deadly enemy to us. So the key question is, what are we going to do about temptation? What is our plan of attack? And this is our last section for this evening. First of all, if you've ever been tempted and you've sinned, that's every single person in this room, then you need something to actually save yourself from death. You know, science is not going to do it. Technology is not going to do it. You're betting against really bad odds here, but magic is not going to save you either. We need something that is supernatural and true to actually save us from death. And verses 16 to 18 help us to understand what the solution is. Have a listen to these verses. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of all his creatures. So as we've heard tonight already, only good things come from God because he is holy and he is pure. He's not fickle. He doesn't shift and change like a shadow throughout the day as the sun moves around. And in addition to this, God has a rescue plan for humanity's sin problem. And this is through the word of truth, which is the gospel. We are actually able to be brought from death to life. Through the gospel, we are able to receive salvation. You guys know this. I've shared it before, but this is Jesus. His death and his resurrection means that our sins are no longer counted against us. He has taken the penalty away for our sins when we believe in him. And if we do this, we are saved from sin and death. So I appreciate that you guys are here often, but if you have never put your faith in Jesus, then this is something that you need to do if you want to be saved from sin and death. So that's the first and foremost thing that we need to do to fight this battle against temptation. Actually ensuring that we're saved by faith through God's grace. You're not going to get very far if you try and fight this battle without God. The second thing we need to do in our battle with temptation actually relates more to our lives as Christians, you know, the practical side of things. And this relates more to what we're feeding ourselves with. You know, if you eat unhealthy junk food, then that's not going to be very good for your health and fitness goals, is it? If you put cheap and nasty fuel in your car, then it's going to be pretty bad for your engine. So if we want to stand strong in the face of temptation, then we have to be feeding ourselves with good and true and right spiritual food. Consider what we've looked at tonight, you know. Even though believers actually receive the Holy Spirit, our desires are not fully sanctified this side of heaven. And so some of our desires remain corrupt and sinful. And so if we always walk according to our desires, then we will just be feeding our hearts and minds all the time on food that is corrupt, the product of corrupt desires. So that's one option in terms of things that we can feed our heart and our mind with, things that are based on corrupt desires. But here's the alternative. As we've heard, God is pure and holy. You know, he only produces good things. He only gives good things. There is no evil or darkness in God. His word is right and true. And so if we pursue him, think about what we're pursuing. What I've just talked about in terms of God's characteristics. We are pursuing and walking towards somebody who is righteous and pure and holy. That's our second option in terms of what we're feeding ourselves with. So if those two options, I ask you this question, what are you feeding your desires with? You could listen to some sort of secular song on the radio, and it could be filled with bad language, sexual references. Or you could actually change the channel and put on a song that gives glory to God and praises him and, you know, promotes the gospel. You could spend hours mindlessly watching TV or scrolling through Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat. There's so many applications now. You would be exposing your mind to so many different images and ideologies. Or you could actually push against that, cut out all this noise and distraction, and just read your Bible for even 10 minutes. Just spending 10 minutes with God compared to hours scrolling through Snapchat. You could even be hurt by someone, and then you could spend all your time just complaining about how bad they are. Or you could actually take that hurt to God and pray to him about how you've been hurt by others. So we can choose to live according to our passions and our desires, or we can actually live according to God's will for our lives. And the more we seek God's will, the less we're actually going to be captured and drawn in by this temptation. This is Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 16. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. You will not gratify the desires of your flesh. So what we see there is that, you know, when you believe, God puts his Spirit inside of you. And if you walk by the Spirit, if you live in accordance with the Spirit, then you will not succumb to corrupt desires in your heart. You just won't. You won't. This is what we've heard. God is pure and holy and just. And so if we're aligning ourselves with this pure and holy and just being, then what we're doing is also turning away, and we're resisting sin, we're resisting temptation, we're resisting all these corrupt desires that are inside of us. So let me ask you this question again. What is feeding your desires? Is it food that is corrupt, that is destitute, that is going to tempt you? Or it is actually God? Is it the goodness of God? What is your diet like? Is it crass music, hours of social media, computer games, TV shows? Or do you have some praise music in there, some time spent reading the Word, some time spent praying to God, just spending time with him and talking to him about things? I'm not making this contrast here to try and Christianize everybody's life. That's not my intention. But what I'm trying to do is actually encourage us to spend time with God and to get to know him more and more and more. The more we seek God, the stronger we're going to be able to stand in the face of temptation. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're struggling with temptation and you're looking for some sort of edge to overcome and you feel like you're just not getting a win, you just feel like you're getting knocked down, one, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, I encourage you to do that. But also, you need to walk according to the Spirit. Feed your heart with good spiritual food. And just spend time with God. So the more we spend time in the presence of this person who is absolutely pure and holy and good, the better we will be. The stronger we will be able to face the temptations and the trials that we have. So let me just finish with Galatians 5:16 one more time. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Let's pray. Father God, this is a heavy topic that we have come to tonight. And Lord, it's easy for us to feel feelings of shame or guilt. But I'm just reminded of the passage that Edred spoke from this morning. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that is feeling weighed down by their sin, then Lord, I pray that you would lift that weight off them and that you would remind them that your power is made perfect in our weakness. I pray too, Lord, that each of us battles against various temptations and trials in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that instead of being drawn towards these things, Lord, that we would be drawn to you, that our love for you would increase and grow. Deliver us from temptation, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish tonight with a couple of songs, so just invite you to stand to your feet and we'll sing together.